Próbna matura. Język angielski. Poziom rozszerzony. Rozumienie ze słuchu. Wysłuchaj dokładnie informacji dotyczących tej części egzaminu. Rozumienie ze słuchu trwa 25 minut i składa się z trzech zadań. Zadania te sprawdzają umiejętność rozumienia wypowiedzi rodzimych użytkowników języka angielskiego. Usłyszysz nagranie, które zawiera zarówno teksty, jak i polecenia do poszczególnych zadań. Każdy tekst zostanie odtworzony dwa razy. Na płycie przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z treścią zadań oraz ich rozwiązanie, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz natomiast dźwięk. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania zgodnie z usłyszanymi poleceniami w czasie słuchania tekstów oraz w trakcie trwania przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie trzy teksty. Z podanych odpowiedzi wybierz właściwą, zgodną z treścią nagrania. Zakreśl literę A, B lub C. Tekst pierwszy.
We have John Myers, an expert on birds migration, in our studio today. He'll tell us more about the planned action, John.
Well, I hope that the listeners remember about switch-off action. Don't be surprised when you won't see the lighting on the upper floors of the downtown skyscrapers. The city council has decided to switch them off after 10:30 p.m. each evening, starting tomorrow.
Why is that so?
The lights on tall buildings confuse the birds. As a result, they begin circling the buildings and die, either of extreme fatigue or by crashing into the walls.
I see. And when will the action end?
People will see the illumination again in November, when the birds' migration finishes. Until then, the lights are out. Sorry.
Text drugi.
One may find many interesting parks to hang around while you're in New York. However, another idea has just emerged and the proposed park will be like no other. An activist group wants to use solar technology to bring sunlight underground. Low-lying park would be constructed in a former trolley station and would consist of an open public space with lawns and live trees, all under vaulted ceilings. So how will the sun reach that place? Mirrors will be installed on nearby roofs. They'll capture sunlight and reflect it through specially designed tubes. The park's expected to be opened between 2019 and 2020, and the testing phase will commence in 3 months.
Text trzeci.
How do scientists know that dinosaurs were not bright colors? Well, the short and quick answer is they don't know, because most of the only part of the animal that's preserved is the bones. With so little information, it's very difficult to answer some questions about their colour. I personally believe that dinosaurs' colours are like those of modern reptiles. Bone structure analysis offers some suggestion of what a dinosaur looked like regarding shape. However, our idea of what dinosaurs looked like regarding colour is pure speculation. And I suppose that colours found in drawings of dinosaurs may be different than in reality. Or maybe not.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz. Tekst pierwszy.
We have John Myers, an expert on birds migration, in our studio today. He'll tell us more about the planned action, John.
Well, I hope that the listeners remember about switch-off action. Don't be surprised when you won't see the lighting on the upper floors of the downtown skyscrapers. The city council has decided to switch them off after 10:30 p.m. each evening starting tomorrow.
Why is that so?
The lights on tall buildings confuse the birds. As a result, they begin circling the buildings and die, either of extreme fatigue or by crashing into the walls.
I see. And when will the action end?
People will see the illumination again in November, when the birds' migration finishes. Until then, the lights are out. Sorry.
Tekst drugi.
One may find many interesting parks to hang around while you're in New York. However, another idea has just emerged, and the proposed park will be like no other. An activist group wants to use solar technology to bring sunlight underground. Low-lying park would be constructed in a former trolley station and would consist of an open public space with lawns and live trees, all under vaulted ceilings. So how will the sun reach that place? Mirrors will be installed on nearby roofs. They'll capture sunlight and reflect it through specially designed tubes. The park's expected to be opened between 2019 and 2020, and the testing phase will commence in 3 months.
Tekst trzeci.
How do scientists know that dinosaurs were not bright colours? Well, the short and quick answer is they don't know, because most of the only part of the animal that's preserved is the bones. With so little information, it's very difficult to answer some questions about their colour. I personally believe that dinosaurs' colours are like those of modern reptiles. Bone structure analysis offers some suggestion of what a dinosaur looked like regarding shape. However, our idea of what dinosaurs looked like regarding colour is pure speculation. And I suppose that colours found in drawings of dinosaurs may be different than in reality. Or maybe not.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie drugie. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie 4 wypowiedzi na temat muzyki. Do każdej wypowiedzi, od 1 do 4, dopasuj odpowiadające jej zdanie, od A do E. Wpisz rozwiązania do tabeli. Uwaga! Jedno zdanie zostało podane dodatkowo i nie pasuje do żadnej wypowiedzi. Tekst pierwszy.
Classical music. Well, you go to hear an ensemble in an enormous hall. The lights are dim, the doors are sealed, and you're expected to sit all that time, which is particularly problematic for teens. This was not the case when that music was written. Particularly going to the opera, besides listening to the music, people did all kinds of things that you may do while watching TV at home, like playing cards, gossiping, etc. As an artist, I'd rather have it go back to the past. That way, at least, I know that when the audience is being silent, it's because I have their attention.
Tekst drugi.
Classical music is challenging. Most teenagers don't have the patience to enjoy it. And they really aren't to blame. I think that if teens actually gave classical music a chance, there would be a lot more of them interested in it. Unfortunately, there's a kind of stigma attached to it. It's for geeks, dull people, old people. And honestly, there's no motivation for teens to leave the modern music they appreciate and try classical music out. Above anything else, the majority of people listen to music to feel something. And for most teens, classical music doesn't do that the way they're used to.
Tekst trzeci.
I'm not saying that today's music is bad. I like it and listen to it occasionally and obviously at parties. However, comprehending classical music is a much more complex process. Popular music has a truly simple formula. It's expectable. People know what to anticipate, so they like it. It's an unconscious process. Classical music is much more than that. Today, the fashion is hip-hop. In the 90s, rock was the best. In the 80s, pop ruled, etc. Most folks would rather search for the latest top 40 song than a musical piece that can enrich them intellectually.
Tekst czwarty.
The classical music industry is its own worst enemy. It's full of nostalgia for the old, because that's what sells. Concert programs and music shops are jam-packed with Mozart or Beethoven. Look around a concert room anywhere in the world, and you will see listeners, most of whom have gray hair. They are there because they'd like to listen to music they adore and are familiar with. They wish to hear the classics of the 18th and 19th century. Youngsters, however, are typically more courageous. Contemporary serious music can be thrilling, thought-provoking, but above all else, it's usually great fun. For example, opera written in the last 10 years is wonderful stuff.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz. Tekst pierwszy.
Classical music. Well, you go to hear an ensemble in an enormous hall. The lights are dim, the doors are sealed, and you're expected to sit all that time, which is particularly problematic for teens. This was not the case when that music was written. Particularly going to the opera. Besides listening to the music, people did all kinds of things that you may do while watching TV at home. Like playing cards, gossiping, etc. As an artist, I'd rather have it go back to the past. That way, at least, I know that when the audience is being silent, it's because I have their attention.
Tekst drugi.
Classical music is challenging. Most teenagers don't have the patience to enjoy it. And they really aren't to blame. I think that if teens actually gave classical music a chance, there would be a lot more of them interested in it. Unfortunately, there's a kind of stigma attached to it. It's for geeks, dull people, old people. And honestly, there's no motivation for teens to leave the modern music they appreciate and try classical music out. Above anything else, the majority of people listen to music to feel something. And for most teens, classical music doesn't do that the way they're used to.
Tekst trzeci.
I'm not saying that today's music is bad. I like it and listen to it occasionally and obviously at parties. However, comprehending classical music is a much more complex process. Popular music has a truly simple formula. It's expectable. People know what to anticipate, so they like it. It's an unconscious process. Classical music is much more than that. Today, the fashion is hip-hop. In the 90s, rock was the best. In the 80s, pop ruled, etc. Most folks would rather search for the latest top 40 song than a musical piece that can enrich them intellectually.
Tekst czwarty.
The classical music industry is its own worst enemy. It's full of nostalgia for the old, because that's what sells. Concert programs and music shops are jam-packed with Mozart or Beethoven. Look around a concert room anywhere in the world, and you will see listeners, most of whom have grey hair. They are there because they'd like to listen to music they adore and are familiar with. They wish to hear the classics of the 18th and 19th century. Youngsters, however, are typically more courageous. Contemporary serious music can be thrilling, thought-provoking, but above all else, it's usually great fun. For example, opera written in the last 10 years is wonderful stuff.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie trzecie. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie wywiad z nauczycielem. Z podanych odpowiedzi wybierz właściwą, zgodną z treścią nagrania. Zakreśl literę A, B, C lub D.
Today we have someone extraordinary in our studio. His name is Jack Garrett, and he was a high school history teacher for 15 years. However, all this time he had a secret. Jack, can you share that secret with us?
Hello. Well, I think now I can. I was illiterate. I learned to read and write at the age of 46.
Illiterate teacher? It sounds impossible, but let's go back to the beginnings. How come nobody realized you couldn't read? How did you graduate?
Well, I was doing okay in school until the age of 11. The school system was different than now, and my inability to read wasn't diagnosed for a long time. At the age of 12, which is fifth grade, I realized how unhappy my mother was due to that fact, and I decided it was time to change something. I began to lie and cheat. I faked it to make her believe I could read. Then in high school, I took up running and discovered I'm good at it. In the meantime, my friends helped me to turn the assignments in. I won a sports scholarship which enabled me to begin college education. Here, I needed more creativity. I recall one time I went to the bathroom and my friend was waiting for me there with a failed test. Somehow, nobody caught me red-handed. And I graduated.
And how did you begin teaching others? Didn't your students realize what's going on?
I developed a clever routine. Firstly, I picked some students to help me. It was their job to read all the info from the headmaster. Then, I explained that my classes will be a bit experimental. We never used textbooks, and traditional tests were something non-existent. We focused on discussions and debates. Well, it turned out to be a fantastic, innovative idea, which I was praised for both by the students and the school administration. I've always had an impeccable reputation and positive reviews. They all just loved my style of teaching.
For 15 years you taught history. How did you get caught?
Well, it happened at home. I got married and have a son. When I read him bedtime stories, I would hold the book, 10 pages, and invent my own version of the story. One night, out of the blue, my son insisted I read a story I didn't know. As I was making up the story, my wife walked by the room and heard what I was saying. She knew the story and realized I wasn't actually reading it. We had a discussion, and I finally admitted that I couldn't read.
So you came clean with your wife. Was it her who encouraged you to learn how to read and write?
Not quite. It had to be my personal decision. I took all my courage and went to the university to sign up for an adult reading class. By that time, a countrywide adult literacy program was advertised and had made this possible. I stopped teaching and became a gardener.
You learned how to read, but that isn't the end, is it?
You're right. I took my greatest secret and turned it into my greatest strength. I wrote a book about my experience in my life. Then I started a blog to help bring the subject of illiteracy to the public and to help people to change their lives.
Thank you for the interview, Jack.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Today we have someone extraordinary in our studio. His name is Jack Garrett, and he was a high school history teacher for 15 years. However, all this time he had a secret. Jack, can you share that secret with us?
Hello. Well, I think now I can. I was illiterate. I learned to read and write at the age of 46.
Illiterate teacher? It sounds impossible. But let's go back to the beginnings. How come nobody realized you couldn't read? How did you graduate?
Well, I was doing okay in school until the age of 11. The school system was different than now, and my inability to read wasn't diagnosed for a long time. At the age of 12, which is fifth grade, I realized how unhappy my mother was due to that fact. And I decided it was time to change something. I began to lie and cheat. I faked it to make her believe I could read. Then in high school, I took up running and discovered I'm good at it. In the meantime, my friends helped me to turn the assignments in. I won a sports scholarship which enabled me to begin college education. Here, I needed more creativity. I recall one time I went to the bathroom and my friend was waiting for me there with a failed test. Somehow, nobody caught me red-handed, and I graduated.
And how did you begin teaching others? Didn't your students realize what's going on?
I developed a clever routine. Firstly, I picked some students to help me. It was their job to read all the info from the headmaster. Then, I explained that my classes will be a bit experimental. We never used textbooks, and traditional tests were something non-existent. We focused on discussions and debates. Well, it turned out to be a fantastic, innovative idea, which I was praised for both by the students and the school administration. I've always had an impeccable reputation and positive reviews. They all just loved my style of teaching.
For 15 years you taught history. How did you get caught?
Well, it happened at home. I got married and have a son. When I read him bedtime stories, I would hold the book, 10 pages, and invent my own version of the story. One night, out of the blue, my son insisted I read a story I didn't know. As I was making up the story, my wife walked by the room and heard what I was saying. She knew the story and realized I wasn't actually reading it. We had a discussion, and I finally admitted that I couldn't read.
So you came clean with your wife. Was it her who encouraged you to learn how to read and write?
Not quite. It had to be my personal decision. I took all my courage and went to the university to sign up for an adult reading class. By that time, a countrywide adult literacy program was advertised and had made this possible. I stopped teaching and became a gardener.
You learned how to read, but that isn't the end, is it?
You're right. I took my greatest secret and turned it into my greatest strength. I wrote a book about my experience in my life. Then I started a blog to help bring the subject of illiteracy to the public and to help people to change their lives.
Thank you for the interview, Jack.
przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął. Sprawdź, czy wszystkie rozwiązania zostały przeniesione na kartę odpowiedzi. Następnie przystąp do wykonywania pozostałych zadań.